Blog Talk Radio.
Her day starts with a coffee and ends with a wine. Takes forever getting ready, so she's never on time for anything. She gets that come get me look in her eyes. Well, it kinda scares me the way that she drives me wild. She drives me wild. Beautiful, crazy, she can't help but amaze me.
Stand by for passion. Good afternoon. Welcome to Passions Podcast. I'm your host, Deborah Vidala, broadcasting live from Palm Beach County, Florida. It's Sunday, October 16th, 2022. We are on the Blog Talk Radio Network worldwide. Today's topic of discussion is diligence. In the studio with me is a special guest speaker, Vince Bellito, CEO and founder of Inner Coaching Academy. He's very special, and he's on the line. I want to bring him on the air right now. Welcome to Passions Podcast. Hi, Vince. Thanks for being with us today and with me on the air.
It's my joy to be here. Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, sir. The topic of discussion is diligence. It's a pertinent subject matter for the motivated mindset I desire to continue to achieve. I recently reached out to Vince and learned he is driven with great purpose, an example of diligence. I appreciate you being with me. Okay, let's get into this. It's an intriguing topic. Vince, what are your thoughts on diligence?
Well, thanks, Deborah. I'm grateful to be here. I'm happy to talk about this. It's something I love this topic. First, let's define diligence. I mean, the definition that I have is steady, earnest, and energetic effort, devoted and painstaking work and application to accomplish an undertaking. And for me, that just really speaks to the nature of who I am, who I've been my entire life. I continuously put forth steady, earnest, and energetic effort to accomplish my goals, painstaking work, sometimes too much. Maybe my tolerance for pain is too great because I can lead myself into a lot of discomfort sometimes, not have enough fun and play. But I'm driven. You know, I have a big vision. I have a big heart. I care deeply for people. And it's really my desire to reach as many human beings as possible. And I believe that even through this episode right now, that people hearing this will have the opportunity to experience life in a new and fresh way, because I want this to be not just information. I want this to be a transformation, an experiential message that is something that people can interact with by listening deeply and reflecting on their own lives and really getting power and life and freedom, even through the words that I'm speaking here today. So that's my intent. And I'd be happy to share a little bit about my background, where I come from, what I'm up to, and why diligence is really so important to me and why it's shown up in my life as absolutely necessary to even be where I am today.
Thank you so much for that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about diligence, and I have Vince on the line with me. And, you know, I was really studying about this topic, and it was stating, you know, that it originated in the 14th century, and it talks about diligent comes from the Latin language, which means to value highly, take delight in. And in English, it has always meant careful and hardworking. As you just said, steady, earnest, and energetic effort, devoted and painstaking work with application to accomplish an undertaking. And I just really, getting to know you this week, for me, you were a huge example, and the circle that surrounds you, it was very enlightening. So let's continue on with your thoughts on diligence, Vince.
Yeah, thank you for that. I'm glad that you've been able to join our Facebook community group, the Invincible Coaches and Entrepreneurs Success Secrets of the Subconscious group on Facebook. And having you in there has been really great. And you've gotten a chance to meet some of my coaches and my team and the people community that we are working within. And it's really special. And I'm glad that you're sharing what you're sharing, that it's impacted you that way. That's my heart's desire and intent. I think it's important people understand like who I am, what I'm about right now. And I think the first thing I'll just share is that, you know, today, currently, my profession is a trauma-informed coach, and I'm specializing in empowering people with radical self-love, communication skills so that they can repair and enrich their relationships, and also empowering them with the ability to break free from very stubborn subconscious blocks in mind, emotion, and their habits so that they can then effortlessly and effectively achieve their goals and dreams. But beyond that, my bigger goal is ultimately to lead people into the direct experience of true self-realization, which I know is already present deep within their core. I have come to understand that all of us originate from what I call an invincible life within us that is the real us, and that once people realize this, once they encounter this within themselves, they are able to transform any and all areas of their life. The way that I came into this work was through a lot of pain, a lot of struggle, a lot of suffering in my own world. At the age of 10, you know, I witnessed my stepfather abusing my mother severely, and it was extremely traumatizing for me. And it wasn't what happened externally, the abuse to her or even to me, and then just being around him and the wild life that I was experiencing from 10 years old all the way for, you know, up until like 17, even 18, 19, that he was still there. We had a kind of good relationship, me and him somewhat, but he was also a very violent guy, so there was a lot of pain towards my mom, towards me. It was very confusing, very difficult. But what most hurt me, what I found out many years later, was not what he did. It was what I internalized, what I thought about myself, about other human beings, about the world at large. And basically, you know, in effort to escape the pain that I was feeling inside, I made some terrible conclusions about myself. Actually, in that moment that I should say, like, I realized, like, you know, I was scared. I felt ashamed that I couldn't help my mother. I felt powerless and helpless. And going into middle school, that was like during the summer when all this started, right before sixth grade. I started going to middle school, public school, sixth grade, and I was just like a black hole gravitationally attracting, serious bullying. I had someone tap me on the shoulder, punch me so hard in my eye that he fractured my cheekbone. It was just a random hit. Somebody I didn't even know. I wasn't causing trouble or anything. I had kids bullying me on the bus. I had a kid rip my shirt off during PE one day. Didn't know any of these people. I was not an instigator or troublemaker. I was new to the school. I didn't have a lot of friends. But I was just getting assaulted left and right, and it was just getting really aggravating. And I look back and see that the emptiness that I was feeling inside was really making me I was drawing it into me. I had already concluded that something was wrong with me because I couldn't help my mother. And I can see that now. I couldn't see it then. But in an effort to escape the bullying and the pain that I was feeling and the loneliness and the emptiness and the helplessness, I got invited to join a gang. And in seventh grade, the last day of school, I got initiated. I had to fight five guys that were bigger than me. I took a heck of a beating, but I felt a kind of accomplishment that day, because I felt like I conquered my fear of the abuse and the violence. And suddenly I had a connection to people who were strong and tough, and I felt like I belonged. It wasn't, you know, the most healthy survival strategy in the long run, but at the time that was all I could see for myself. There wasn't really much available. And that journey then led into drugs and a life of crime and drug dealing and a lot of violence. And it culminated and, you know, basically reached an end in 1999 when I overdosed from drugs pretty heavily. And waking up on the sidewalk, throwing up blood and not knowing where I was, who I was, what was going on, and then realizing that I had no pulse, I had no heartbeat, they told me. It kind of freaked me out. I'm in the hospital, handcuffed to the bed because that was a violation of my probation. I was just reflecting on the fact that when I was dead, I didn't have any vision of life, you know, beyond the grave. I didn't have any encounter with God or angels or even demons or hell or anything. There was just like nothingness. And that terrified me. And from that moment forward, I decided I needed to change my life radically or I was never going to survive. I knew if I continued what I was doing, I'd be dead within a matter of months because I was doing cocaine and ecstasy and LSD and smoking weed and, you know, whatever drugs I could get, pills, and drinking the whole way through for 4 days straight with no sleep, pretty much on the regular. And I would sober up a bit and then I would go out again, 3-4 day binges. And while living a life of crime and drug dealing, it was pretty intense for me. And I knew I couldn't survive it. So I made a powerful decision that day that I was going to turn my life around, and I cut off everyone and everything. And I began the pursuit of answers to questions like, what is the meaning of life? Is there life after death? Is God real? You know, what's my purpose here? Do I have a purpose? What can I do with my life? How do I transform? I always have been a pretty focused individual. I've been a martial artist since I was 8 years old, played sports, very competitive. So that same veracity and that intentionality was there, but I was struggling severely with my mental condition because of now sobering up a bit. You know, when you're doing cocaine for years and other drugs, you know, your neurotransmitter levels, they get all thrown out of whack. And so without having drugs to supply me with good feeling, I was really depressed. I was really mentally not well and emotionally not well at times. And I refused to be on any medication or anything like that. But I just had to work out my issues. And I found a book on Zen Buddhist meditation, which was a beautiful opportunity for me to sit with myself because that's the practice, just sitting with me quietly, doing nothing. And rather than a distraction or avoiding my, you know, inner world, I got to be aware of it. And that's when the memories of my childhood started surfacing. And that began this inner coaching journey. You know, the methodology that I utilize today to serve people began there. It began with that sitting with myself, being introspective, and then all of a sudden the memories began to surface, the emotions began to surface, and I very crudely, you know, without tools that I have today or the intelligence that I have today, I navigated those spaces, and it was very uncomfortable, very difficult. I was suicidal at some points of it because the pain was so overwhelming that I was starting to get access to the unconscious stuff that I had been suppressing through a life of violence, you know, trying to be strong and tough so I didn't have to feel weak and helpless inside. And then the drugs and, you know, the crime and all of that was really just a distraction, I found out. That's why I chose that life. It was to avoid feeling and experiencing what I had decided myself to be, which is worthless. I decided that I was worthless and that I was useless to my mother. And that was like a death sentence that I cast upon myself, which in 1999 came to be a reality. 11 years later, I almost died literally, totally. And tracing it all back through the meditation and getting in touch with what was really going on inside of me, which was very difficult, and I didn't have a lot of support, which today I now provide tremendous amounts of support for doing this type of work. So it's much more easy and almost effortless even compared to like the way I went through it. But at least it began to open up for me this inner world. So I began to understand the realm of mind, you know, thoughts and memories and conclusions and meaning, significance, and then the realm of emotion with all the various ranges of emotion, the different scales of emotion from shame at the bottom all the way up to even emotions of love and bliss and ecstasy and everything in between. And then I also learned about the somatics, the feelings and the sensations in the body, which are just the happenings in the physical self that we typically don't even have consciousness of, that those play a part and play a role in the unconscious operations and functions, and as well as the effort impulses, these urges to survive that control our actions, that control our behavior, control the habits that we have operating. So these four areas began to open up for me, you know, over 20-something years ago. And, you know, in the last 20-something years, I've mapped this territory very well. I've put a lot of language to it. And I've been working with people even as early as the first year of my sobriety. People started to show up and looking for help, opening up to me about their drug problems. They knew I sobered up, or they felt something with me, and they felt like they could tell me anything. I had been through hell and back in my life, and I was very humbled, and I had a lot of, like, grace that was coming into my world as I spent time in nature. And even within the first year, I had a profound awakening through that meditation and that sitting. I was very interested in, you know, I wanted to know for myself if God was real, if there's really some kind of spiritual life or spiritual existence. I read books, I heard these things, but, you know, I didn't really want to believe anything. I knew that believing something is not the same as experiencing something. And that distinction is what set me on a very unique path, because a lot of people in the world, they believe whatever religion tells them or spiritual practices or whatever, their parents or their culture. But for me, I didn't trust anyone. I didn't trust anything. I didn't even trust myself because I almost got myself killed. So I knew I had to have a new scientific approach to understanding how life actually works. So I wasn't willing to accept anyone's ideas or concepts. I needed to have a direct experience, and I knew this. And within a year, I did. I had a very unique day where I was intentional about seeking, you know, whether God was real, whether life was, you know, something that was more than what I could understand. And I had a sudden inversion of my awareness. There was, you know, this shift from being, you know, aware of my outer world and, you know, through my eyes and my ears. And all of a sudden, it was like my awareness was just inverted to the internal space so deeply that I was staring down the very center of my own, like, nervous system, right down my spinal column, it felt like. And it was just a full, glorious, illuminating experience where I was filled with light, aware of light, and I fell to my knees. And to my shock, I'm expressing the words Jesus Christ automatically. Now, you have to understand that I'm not going to church. I'm anti-Christian. I'm anti-Bible. I'm not interested in religion at all. But I'm passionate about discovering truth. And all of a sudden, I'm expressing these words, Jesus Christ, but I didn't experience a man. And it wasn't just like, Jesus Christ, like, you know, surprise and awe. It was like the recognition that that absolute love and eternal and everlasting life is already present within my core. And that core was somehow associated to the name Jesus Christ. And so that got me really hungry to, like, study, like, what Christianity was about, because I had been studying about Hinduism, Buddhism, Eastern philosophy, multiple other religions. I was so curious. I even was willing to read in the Satanic Bible, which I found in the library, and I was curious, like, what are they talking about? I just wanted to know anything and everything. I didn't care what it was. I just wanted to see what people were saying. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I need to go to church. I need to figure this out. I want to understand who this Jesus character really is, because I suddenly had this experience of Jesus, but it wasn't a man. It was my life. It was the life that I am. And that's a very weird thing for anyone to say, probably, but it was just so profound. It was like this realization that love and eternal beingness is my true nature. And this love and eternal beingness is absolute, unconditional for everything and everyone for all time. That was the realization that I had back in the year 2000. So we're talking over 22 years ago now about. And it blew my mind, obviously, and it set me on a path to want to understand, excuse me, what in the world was this? Excuse me, I have a cough for 1 second.
Stand by, everybody. And this is Debbie with Passions Podcast, and I have Vince Bellito on the line. We're talking about diligence, and I'm really listening to this great feedback you have, Vince. I just want to interject for a minute. It sounds like you found spiritual diligence that requires patience. And from what I see, you know, today, you keep a clean heart. And I think that's what it's all about. For me, that's the message I want to put out to the listeners with the topic of diligence is keep a clean heart. And I know you're breaking over to the other side with this story. I want you to continue on, Vince. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought in. So the diligence part of it was I was extremely focused. Every day after I was working construction, I would be sitting, meditating, contemplating the moon, the stars, nature, how it came into existence. I was so passionate and so focused, so relentlessly focused. I needed answers, and I needed them now. And I just was unwaveringly committed and absolutely diligent every single day to fix my heart, my mind, and my attention upon understanding the answers to the questions that I mentioned earlier. And it paid off, because in less than a year's time, I had this profound experience that just gave me a certainty of my connection to the divine, to everyone's connection to the divine, to what it really is, the simplicity of it, that it's everywhere present, that it's nowhere lost, nobody's missing it. But what I did get curious about was, why was I suddenly aware of it? And what was in the way for other people? Because if I tried to talk to people about this, they didn't seem to be as conscious of it or aware of it. And I was like, why is it that they can't see? Why is it that people are stuck? Why is it that people think they're limited, they're helpless, they're broken? And that's the last 20 years of my work and diligently focusing on getting answers to that. How can I understand what's in the way for people? And also, how can I help people experience for themselves this beautiful reality that I didn't deserve as a criminal and a drug dealer? I wasn't holy. I wasn't pure. I wasn't a good person. I mean, my mind was still filled with criminal thoughts. You know, I was still filled with like scheming and plotting ideas. I was not a righteous person. I wasn't a religious person. I wasn't a good person. I was just a person who was passionate about knowing truth, and I got some serious answers. And now my life's work has just been, how can I take people into their own inner world, help them find relief from their own trauma, their pain, their suffering, the conditions that blind them through their own mind, their emotions, their body, their habits, their history, their memories. How do I help them get beyond that to see the truth of who they are? Because what I got in that moment in 2000 was that I'm not limited by my body-mind existence. I'm not limited by my history. I'm not limited by my future. I'm not limited by what I think or what I feel or what's happening in my body. Who I am is infinitely beyond that. And so that's basically my passion. And today my diligence is around how do I help people get this as quickly as possible, as effortlessly as possible, as gently as possible, and to live the life that I believe is possible once they know who and what they truly are.
Well said, Vince. So that's a lot of great feedback. So one of the seven virtues is diligence, and it describes it as thoroughness, completeness, and persistence of an action, particularly in matters of faith. And it was really cool. You talked about Christianity and the Bible. And I was studying, you know, the last couple days because I always like to learn and I remain teachable. And in the Bible, it states, strong desire or want to do something. God rewards those who diligently seek him. As I was listening to you, and if spiritual diligence is just, you know, like in my notes, I'm like, he's just right on. It's very cool. We need to keep faith and reliance in God always. And my other afterthought on the topic is one may ask, how long do I need to be diligent? It's a good question, I guess. And I say the answer is until the end. Always possess a character of diligence. What do you think, Vince?
Yeah, I think, you know, what's interesting is, you know, life is very diligent. If you study nature, I've been pulling up some weeds lately. I've had to kill some weeds in this yard that I've been working on. And it's the voracity of even a small plant, right? Like, it'll break through concrete. It'll grow in the most shallowest area. Like, it's just like it fights for its life, like, no matter what. And you can see this everywhere in nature. It's just so profound. And in human existence, we can lose that relationship to the surviving and thriving inner impulse of life itself. Because the mind can get conditioned, the emotions can get conditioned, suppression can happen from our external environment, from our parents and our parental upbringing, depending on how they raise us, our teachers, our, you know, the culture, the groups that we belong to. We can feel ashamed of expressing certain parts of ourselves. So we learn very early on, even as early as in the womb, some of us, many of us even, learn to suppress certain experiences of life within ourselves. And my job, basically, is to help people see where this is happening and release those blocks. So, you know, nature is very diligent. We're naturally very diligent. The life force impulse in us is extremely diligent. It wants to lead us to survive. But our mind, emotion, and body can become conditioned against that. And so it's really important that people have the right kind of supportive environment, as well as the inner access to see where their subconscious world is working against them. Because diligence isn't something you can just muster up by will. And I know that. It has to be something that's generated from the inside out. If you ever try to work with someone who's very depressed or very ill towards life, towards themselves, you know, you can't just be like, hey, you just need to like power through this, right? Because there's too much working against them in their mind, emotions, and body. But if they are led to the innermost parts of their being and they're able to create a relief in the mental and the emotional and the somatic conditioning, what's interesting is that diligence is like, it's something that just starts to open up and lead them and guide them again, because it's always present, right? It's always there within us. It's just like it could be locked away. So everybody's got it living within them, this ability to be diligent. But if you look at the world, it doesn't look that way today. And what's in the way is the mental, emotional, and somatic conditioning. And that's really what I specialize in. So I think it's so important. That's why I do what I do. I don't think there's any greater game on the planet than the game that I'm playing to help people get aware of this and transform this at the deepest level of their being. Because trying to force your way into success doesn't really work. In fact, the Bible talks about the difference between law versus grace, right? And so what I do is I lead people to the experience of grace in a non-religious way, right? Just take away all the lingo of the Bible and all that, which I'm 20 plus years versed in, and I've led Bible studies for years and prayer groups, and I'm all for that. But that's not everybody's lingo, right? I know that
Absolutely.
The love of life itself is for everyone. And I got that very early on. I was like, look, man, I was a piece of garbage. I ruined people's lives. I didn't deserve what I got, you know, and I'm no better than anybody else. So I'm not out to propagate religious belief systems and cultural, you know, acceptances. I don't care about that. What I care about is how do I get people alive again? And because I made that my focus, I've been able to transcend every religion, and I've been able to find a system of transformation that works no matter what environment I'm put in, no matter what group of people I work with, no matter what they believe, whether they have religious or spiritual beliefs or not, whether they're atheists or not. To me, that's what real religion is about. It's about how do you reach as many people as possible and lead them to the truth.
Thank you, Vince. Thank
that's
you
what I'm
so much.
About today. Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you, Vince. Okay, everybody, stand by. We have a couple minutes left, and I just want to invite people that are tuning in. Right now we're on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to be on Spreaker and iHeart, Google Podcasts, and more. So as soon as production is done on this episode, I will send it out. And you can get involved with Passions. If you want to become a sponsor or advertiser, you can email me at passionspodshow@gmail.com or call your host directly off the air at area code 561-856-0100. That's 561-856-0100. Vince, I want to thank you so much for being a great guest.
Thank you. My joy. Time goes by fast, yeah?
Yes. So we're down to about the last minute. And again, I'm just really grateful. I feel like this topic was full of energy, and we really got to fit a lot in, and I hope that you'll return to Passions sometime soon.
Thank you, Deborah. It's my joy to share all of this with you. Thank you for what you're doing and your commitment to being a light for other people so that they can have life.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed day. Stand by. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Passions Podcast. I had Vince Bellito with me. He was an amazing guest, and we were talking about diligence. I'm broadcasting live from Palm Beach County, Florida. If you want to get on the show, call me, 561-856-0100. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.